It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's slightly after 3 o'clock. You can thank OG Wade for that. But it's 3 o'clock on Tuesday, which means it is Tuesdays with Elliot. Brought to you by Groundworks. Tackle your wet basement, drywall cracks, or the nasty smells coming from your crawl space by booking a free inspection at groundworks.com. Elliot, we heard you had a little bit of an adventure returning back from Cincinnati, so we welcome you back
little
to the
bit.
Delaware
thank
Valley.
Thank you, thank you. And I got to say, Cincinnati was nice. I got to give it to you, Ike. It's a top five football city.
Come on, Jack.
Top five. Never been
to the city.
What'd you like about it?
Dude, the football scene around there was unbelievable.
Top five football city?
Yeah, I think it's top five.
Okay.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Philly. Kansas City.
Kansas City, Pittsburgh.
Green Bay. Okay, so that's Detroit?
So I took Green Bay out just because I would never, ever want to live there. Like, I would rather live in Detroit or Cincinnati than Green Bay.
Well, that's, you said football.
Not many people have ever said that.
Well, but I'm saying part of being a great football city is also, like, picturing yourself living there.
You'd rather live in Detroit? Yeah, I guarantee you not many people have said that.
Yeah.
The city is turning, man.
I've heard some good things about Detroit, actually.
Look, we'll be there for the championship game, so I'm excited to see it.
Are you sure they won't be here the way everybody's talking?
They might be, They might be.
So, Elliot, let me ask you this. The top thing we talked about was, you know, Ike said that he believes they turned the corner. They found the formula, all of these things. Once again, Super Bowl contenders. Are you there with this Eagles team yet?
I am. I'm definitely there. I think for me, it's because it isn't a one-week thing. Like, I think it's been three straight weeks of them improving. And I've said this. This isn't just like a overreaction now. I thought they played better against Cleveland than everybody wanted to admit because everyone was so mad at Nick. And then I thought against the Giants, they played better than they did against the Browns. And then I thought against the Bengals, they played better than they did against the Giants. So I've seen three straight weeks of improvement. And also, obviously, coming from the guy that tracked every throw in training camp, like Jalen taking care of the ball is 1, 2, and 3 for me. Like, that's it. If Jalen's taking care of the ball, I am in on the team. And I think Jalen has been way smarter with the football over the last 3 weeks. He's gone 4 straight games without an interception. He had a fumble against Tampa, which is bad, but 4 straight games without an interception. That's the most he's ever done in his career. Even in 2017, the most he ever did was 4 straight games.
Man, 22.
Yeah, sorry, 22, yeah. So I look at the team and I go, Jalen's playing well. The defense is playing well. Obviously, they have a ton of talented players on offense, and they're improving week after week. So I don't see any reason not to be in on them.
Well, I think there's a difference between acknowledging their improvement and given the... Because we really have almost the story of two halves of the first half of the season, right? There was pre-buy and post-buy. And I think it's fair to say that they are improving. I think it's fair to say that you see the light at the end of the tunnel. But... It's just not that long ago before we were talking about them potentially missing the playoffs.
But I think a difference is, so in 2016, when the team started 3-0, right? And at 3-1, they barely lost to Detroit. Like, we were surprised by that. Like, that team wasn't supposed to be that good.
Right.
I think if you look at the 7 games they've played this year, in the 4 games they've had mostly everybody, they've looked kind of exactly how many people thought, right? Like, I know me and you are more at like 10 wins instead of 12, but they're 4-0 when they have everybody. They're averaging almost 30 points when they have everybody. They've beaten the Packers when they've had everybody. They've beaten the Bengals when they had everybody. So while I get your point that there was definitely a stretch where they didn't look great, and like the Green Bay game, I left feeling almost more discouraged because of how Jalen played. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, now that if you look at the totality of it, they have been more a football team, I think, that we expected to see than they have been the opposite of it.
And you have to at least allow for the first 4 weeks. And it's not that you erase it, but you almost have to look at it through the prism of the first 4 weeks was their first real game action as a team, and they didn't have key players in some of those games. They're still 2-2, but if I was going through my record of predictions, they're only one game off of what I predicted. You know, I thought they would beat the Falcons at home, and I didn't know what would happen with the first game of the season. So they beat Green Bay unexpectedly. I thought they should beat the Falcons. They lose that game, and now you beat Cincinnati, whereas when I went through my preseason predictions, I had that as a loss on my list. So they're really at 5-2, and I think most people would have been happy with them being at 5-2, and really they're a drop away from being 6-1.
Well, and here's the other reason why they've made believers out of me, is if you look at where this team was at, think about it. They were in New Orleans down with like a minute to go, staring 1-2 in the face with likely 1-3 in the face next week against Tampa. Mm-hmm. And they get that Goddard play. Like, my biggest concern with this team was that if it was going to fall apart, they would be unable to stop it. That if the ball started rolling down the hill, that last year would like that would be there, that they wouldn't have the resiliency to do it. To me, this team bouncing back from like that 2-2 start, nearly being 1-3, getting smoked against Tampa, like the whole city trying to get Nick out of here against the Browns, to bounce back from that, I didn't think they had that in them. Like, my concern was never talent. My concern was this thing was broken, and once it's broken, you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. And I'm impressed at how it looks like they fixed it.
I generally agree with that. I was not confident in them turning it around.
Mm-hmm.
However,
and to be honest, I wasn't either. So the fact that they did it, you know, I have to give them credit.
I do. And I thought the Giants, on some level, I was more impressed with the Giants win than the Bengals win, only because of the context of the,
Right.
I thought that that game was the honestly, the crossroads of the season.
It was coming off the Browns
season.
Game. It was coming off
and
of that.
The Knicks stuff.
Think of how many moments they've had like that where they've avoided disaster.
I know. I just, that feeling that you have shaken of feeling like they could fall apart, I just think that it takes more for me, for a team that I felt that way about, that it takes more for me to not feel like that feeling could come back. You know, that if things get rocky again, I'm not going to be confident. I will once again be waiting for that bad thing
to
happen.
So see, maybe that's where we differ, because if they lose to the Jags, I'm not like pressing the panic button. This team has gotten me to a point where I'm going to need to see 2 or 3 weeks of poor play before I don't believe anymore. Because I think they have played, for the most part, now in the totality of it. And look, when we were in it, certainly I felt that they weren't playing well in the turnovers. But the totality of this season has been more impressive to me than it has been discouraging. And because of that, I'm giving them leeway. Right, like if that Bengals win bought them leeway for me, the three straight wins bought them leeway for me. I think they'll beat the Jaguars, but if they don't, I'm not going to be like, well, I knew Nick was a fraud. I told you guys Jalen wasn't that good. They've been good enough for a long enough stretch for me where I'm back to believing that they are the team that we saw in like 2022 and like the beginning of 2023.
Yeah, they're beating the Jags. Let me read this for you.
Yeah,
and this is another reason why you should believe. Especially when thinking about how they will handle adversity, what they did, they didn't do well last year versus adversity they've already gone through this year, and they've handled it well. They banded together. They didn't splinter apart. So here's Jalen. A fool isn't a fool for making a mistake. A fool is a fool for refusing to learn. And I'm going to learn from the things that went wrong last year. Now, it's one thing to say it or what have you. It's one thing to put it in practice. And that's what he's done. He's had the chance. If last year was still lingering, if he didn't like Nick and all this other stuff was going on, there was a moment in the first month of the season where it could have very easily went the wrong way like it did last year.
Multiple times.
That's not what happened. They convened. They hashed out whatever it is they needed to hash out, talked about things they needed to talk about, got on the same page, and he has even come out and been in glowing support of his head coach. Like, so to me, that says a lot. I know sometimes guys just say things, and I get that. But for this kid, who's been stubborn to a fault at times, where he wouldn't change certain things, he clearly has learned from at least the role he played in last year. Not saying it was all his fault, but things that he may feel like I could have done better to help us pull out of that six-game slump at the end of the season. He's choosing to do things differently this year, and that has a ripple effect when things don't go well. He's, instead of him pulling away and saying, let me process stuff and this is how I do it on my own, he's in the fight and the fire with those guys.
And with Nick.
And with Nick, yes. And with Nick, because quite frankly, it's Nick and the team, and then there was Jalen over there.
Yeah.
So I've said this before. You line up both guys, and you talk about who's all lining up with whom and this and that and the other. Nick has more people lining up in his corner because he's more relatable. That the players, he's more approachable, right? That he wears his emotions on his sleeves. He's like one of them. That's where Jalen needed to get to. I'm in the fight with you guys, and that's where it feels like he's at.
I don't disagree with
And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I don't disagree with anything you said. I thought that the Bengals win was a great performance. I said yesterday about Jalen that the the finally it gets into his head, I need to figure out or at least try to do these things that I haven't been able to do before. Even if I'm uncomfortable, I think it's a big thing. Also, I agree with you. Even if he doesn't feel that way about Nick, saying that you feel that way is an important thing to keep the team together, all those things. I'm just not there. And I think the other reason is, and this, I know people will say you're crazy and that's not fair. The Green Bay game almost feels like the preseason game to me. In my head, it just seems so long ago, such a weird game. Green Bay wasn't what Green Bay is. We were different. Like, it was in Brazil. I almost can't even count.
But I don't get why that impacts.
Why isn't Green Bay what they are?
They're a better team now than they were.
I mean, they're still a good team, though.
Sure, yeah.
But you think they're better than the Eagles, is what you're saying?
I don't know.
Because I think the Eagles are better than the Packers.
I have no idea. All I know is that game, if we're saying what are their accomplishments this year, I'm not saying they beat the Packers. It's just a separate thing to me. Even though it's not that I don't want to give them credit for it. I know it sounds that way,
but
it's
even
not
if you don't signal out the Packers win, because I didn't think it was a super impressive performance. It was an impressive win.
Yeah, we were waiting to get the first game of the season. Yeah, we had everything
in Brazil.
We were conflicted about that game. Yeah, I think a lot of us were.
But I think you have to include it when you talk about the fact that this team at full strength is undefeated. So we can feel however we want.
It does matter.
But you say full strength. It's not nobody's at full strength.
No, but all right, fine. You want to say the Atlanta game? Fine. But I'm saying the Tampa game, you can't hold against them. They're missing AJ Devontae and Lane. Now, they should have played better than they did, and it was disappointing the way they no-showed.
Yeah.
But fine, you want to say 4-1 or whatever. Like, the Atlanta game, you're right. That should count. You're only missing AJ. You should still win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, this is a team that, like, the record speaks for itself. However you want to feel about the Packers game, you have to include it as a win in a totality.
Sure, yeah, well, it's part of the record. I agree. And
everybody else's win week one counts.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't count. I'm saying when I'm thinking about the team, it almost feels like a different portion of the schedule to me. I don't want to belabor it.
I think maybe one. So you weren't here in 2022, right? I'm trying to remember the year. Okay. So for me, maybe one of the reasons me and Ike are a little more in and you don't quite feel it yet is just because I think that felt like 2022. Like being part
the game
of it.
Did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, but just like the way the fans reacted to everything, the way the locker room was, the way Jalen. So it's been a long time since it felt like that.
Yes, that game felt like 2022, but the Browns game felt like 2023.
It did, but
and it was 2 weeks prior.
But that's
Browns all I'm is not a bad loss, man. I mean, not a bad win.
No, I know, but again,
that's a decent team.
You're talking about how it felt.
No, sure. I know.
You know, that's how that game felt to me.
But a lot of that was, if we're being honest, like part of it was how they played for sure. But also a lot of it was what Nick did.
Yes.
Like Nick overshadowed what I think. If Nick doesn't do what he does, I think we'd be able to look at it a little more and go, you know what? Jalen didn't turn it over. The defense was pretty good.
Sure.
And so that's part of it.
215-592-9494. Do you believe in the Eagles as Super Bowl contender? Steven Eagleville, you're on WIP. Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
What up, Steve?
Good. Hey, this is my first time calling, so bear with me a minute here. I'm on the same side as Spike. I'm not ready to jump all in on this yet. I just think we need a little bit more consistency from everybody. I'm not saying it's not a good win and that it wasn't positive for the team as a whole, but at the same time, like if you really look at it, most of the points were scored by, you know, the quarterback and his legs, not by the team as a whole. And the one throw to Devontae.
What does that even mean? What does that mean? Hold on. What does that even mean, Steve?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
What does that mean that the most of the points that were scored by the quarterback and his legs?
Well, with the tush push and all.
Yeah, oh, so you're telling me? Hold on. So you're telling me you don't believe had they just turned around and gave the ball to Saquon three times, he wouldn't have scored those touchdowns?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's not a sustainable model.
It is sustainable. It's been sustainable since they've been doing it. What do you mean it's not sustainable? It is sustainable.
Well, I was saying a couple weeks ago, you can't give the.
Well, let me ask you this, Steve. I'm curious, really quick. I'm just curious. Like, how did you feel about the offense in 2022?
I felt good about it, but I felt like some of what they did wasn't exactly clean football.
God, we set these unrealistic expectations.
The reason I'm asking though is because Jalen is on track for 20 touchdowns this year passing, and he had 23 that year. So, like, it's not going to be that different in terms of how they made the Super Bowl in 2022. I get your point that do I think Jalen can throw for 40 touchdowns in this league? No, I think Jalen, I'd be surprised if he ever did that. And so you're right when you look at the other contending teams, like, it looks different. But we've seen them almost win the Super Bowl with this exact model of offense.
Game manager, we're going to tush, push. We're going to pound it all the way to New Orleans, Steve. Pound town.
Him and Hugh driving all
New
the way there.
New Orleans, Steve.
Yep, pound town with Ike and Hugh.
Yep, in the car and Tucker videotaping.
I was just going to say, he's trying to get on that road trip with Hugh.
I am the road trip, Steve. What do you mean? I'm the road trip.
Thank you for the call, Steve.
My apologies.
You think Hugh wants to roll by himself?
No, come on. And he doesn't want to roll with any of us. So
exactly.
Thank you for the call, Steve. The tush push, the touchdowns count. Now, I don't like when they count them as Jalen total
rushing
touchdowns.
Yes.
If we're talking about that, that's a different. But a touchdown's a touchdown.
I agree with you, but also bottom line, they're like one of the most effective teams in the league at converting fourth and third and like short. So
that's fine.
But that is a winning formula to be able to when it's third and second, like to consistently get first downs. I mean, that's a winning formula.
I'm not betting on any more anytime Saquon touchdowns. All Jalen.
Yeah.
Well, you see Jalen handed him the ball to spike it.
Yeah. I would have
thrown it right back at him.
Yeah,
would have hit him in the helmet with it. The only time I don't like the tush push is when they're in the middle of the field. It's third down. It's early in the game. It feels like a waste of a
I agree. It's not. It feels lazy, but right. It is what it is.
All right. Two things. Man, we got a lot to get to. First of all, this is a quote from Elliot. Uh-huh. These are things we're going to get to next. First, I don't get the obsession with the Eagles needing an identity on offense. They just need to take care of the ball and score.
Nice.
It doesn't matter if they're a running team, a passing team, an AJ team, or a Saquon team. All right, that's the first thing we'll debate.
I'm happy you brought that up.
Okay. Two other things. We have a quote from Howard from last night about his behavior at the Eagles-Bengals game.
Sickening stuff.
Howard's behavior?
Yes. From a quote from Howard.
About me?
No.
Okay.
About him.
Right.
You are safe, Elliot.
Okay. Well, normally when someone says Howard said something on air to me, it means my training
really
camp stats came up.
You are a fellow Big J.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As
right.
a Big
that
J.
That is true.
Yeah. Yes. Egregious stuff from an Eagles Insider of the Year candidate.
Well, I hope it's, you know, taken
really
into
bad.
Account on Wednesday.
And the other thing we
Not
have,
that I care.
And this is on you, Elliot.
Okay.
Is that we have a Juan Soto rumor that may lead back to the Phillies.
Hardest wood I have ever touched.
And we have all determined that we are sacrificing for Soto.
Okay.
So Jack will name his second child Juan. I committed to a Juan Soto tattoo. Ike is going to eat a sandwich with mayonnaise on it.
Very soft.
And we're going to...
Mayonnaise is great.
Yeah. Well,
of course mayonnaise may be the worst thing
I actually
ever.
Do vegan mayo. It's very good.
Vegan mayo is pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Vegan mayo?
Yeah, it tastes just like regular mayo, to be honest.
Yes. Because
we know what it tastes like.
They don't use eggs.
Well, you will when Juan Soto's here.
Yeah. So we're going to need to see if you'll participate.
Yeah.
So all that is next. We have a lot to get to. That is all coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.